to Standing in the Sunlight with Cynthia Rose. We are all on an ever-unfolding unique journey. Join Cynthia Rose as she begins her unique perspective to all that is meaningful. Topics and personalities that support your path, bringing inspiration and passion and heart-centered ways to live a more fulfilling life. A down-to-earth and uplifting sharing of what it means to be spiritual, creative, and living life to the fullest by standing in the sunlight. Born an intuitive medium, Cynthia Rose is also an ordained minister, singer, astrologer, educator, and writer. She has studied the intuitive and healing arts for over 40 years. Rise up and stand in your sunlight now with Cynthia Rose.
Hello, everyone. Wherever you're listening from, welcome to Standing in the Sunlight. Really looking forward to our special guest today and glad that he's joined us on the show. We're going to have Dr. Stephen Farmer. He is a renowned author, teacher, shamanic practitioner, licensed psychotherapist, and soul healer. He's published several best-selling books and other products, including Earth Magic Oracle Cards, Animal Spirit Guides, Sacred Ceremony, Power Animal Oracle Cards, Messages from Your Animal Spirit Guides, Oracle Cards, so many to list here, Power Animals, goes on and on and on. He is going to, today, he's going to speak to us today about a special program that he has ongoing, and I think I hear him here. Stephen, are you there?
Yeah, you probably hear me breathing.
Yeah.
Hey, I have to ask you something, though. In the intro, you're a singer also?
I am, yes.
Right. Oh, great. Oh, good. Yeah, I'm an itinerant, a wannabe musician, I guess I would say. I've written some songs and, you know, love playing. It was just for fun. You know, it's a hobby more than an avocation. But when somebody says musician or singer, it perks my ears up right away. So anyway, I just wanted to ask you that to start this show off.
Yeah, that was my, I don't know, my first love was... And music has been the thread through my life, and I have an album out that was, I have to say, channeled lyrics, because I went to where I, the space of where I do my mediumship from, and wrote with one of Canada's best musicians, Miles Black, and we collaborated. And
cool.
Yeah, it was a real interesting learning. You know, it's interesting when you write songs and then you have a gig to perform them, and I'm going, I don't even know these words.
Yeah, because they came from somewhere else, you know?
They came from somewhere else. I had to learn them. I think the first time I did a gig with them, I had to have cheat sheets, because I hadn't realized they really weren't mine. Yeah. So.
Well, that's what happens, I think, with writing songs, or certainly I would say a good portion of my writing has been downloading. I remember the first book I did. Well, I did some books. I'm a former therapist too, and I did a few books and published a few books there, one of which is still in existence and recently issued the 25th anniversary edition of it. But then I had a gap a few years, and the first book in this genre was Sacred Ceremony, which you mentioned. And then the next one was called Power Animals. It was a really first of its kind book to... actually have messages from the power animals that were in the book. And I believe there's about 42 different animals, which is not a lot, but they're the more common ones that we see in the North America. And I would sit, like you said about channeling, I would sit in front of my computer and I'd say, for instance, raccoon, what do you want me to say? You know, and I'd sit and I'd listen and I'd just start typing with my eyes closed. I'm a pretty fast typist. And, I'd read the message later and I go, I'll be darned. That was pretty cool. Thank you, Rick. You know, it's like, it came through me, definitely. And our job, I think, when we're writing is to show up, you know, definitely, and be in service in that way, in this way of doing this. So anyway, it's also interesting.
And that's really beautiful for me, because I have started sort of quietly in the last couple of years, closing my eyes, putting my fingers on the keyboard and typing. And sometimes it takes a minute or two. It's a bunch of gobbledygook. And then all of a sudden writing shows up, and an interesting process. So, I have to tell you something now. I just had a memory that I have to tell you about. So when I was about 3 years old, we'd moved into a new house. I could have been two, but I was going to sleep with the door closed, and I was a little afraid of the dark. And I would see faces in the dark. And so this old lady was laughing, and I saw her face appear before me as I'm tucked into bed, and she scared me. And so then I got really scared. The door opened, and a big black bear walked in the room, reached in and hugged me and put me to sleep.
I love it.
And I never thought anything of it, except that I think back now, I must have talked about being a bear with my mom for a couple of years. I would say, I'm a bear. Yeah. I love the bear. The bear was prominent in my life for quite a few years. So,
yeah, it's very interesting, Cynthia, because a premise that I have, when I first started doing shamanic work and understanding about spirit animals and power animals are more specifically for shamanic practitioners or shamans that would have one or two or maybe even three or four specific spirit animals that they worked with in the shamanic work. And those are called power animals. But after, continuing my work with that, I finally received information that said, hey, dude, it's not just shamans or shaman practitioners. Everybody's born with one, sort of like a guardian angel. And what we do, though, because we end up being civilized pretty quickly, is we lose track of that. You know, like you said, the bear was with you for a few years. Excuse me. But then, you know, stop being with you. And that's really not uncommon, right around the age of 7 or 8. Our thinking and our way of looking at the world, thinking about the world changes. And unfortunately, one of the things that happens is that we forget a lot about who we are and where we came from. And in this, what I'm talking about here is also we lose that power animal comes in with us that is designed to take good care of us, you know, no matter how long we live, you know, to be with us for a long time. So I believe that's one way to characterize your experience there is this bear spirit came in and was a great comfort to you and what a great guardian too, bear spirit. So, and the good news is you can get that bear back, not a bear, but bear spirit this few different ways. Yeah, go ahead.
I was really lucky. I had a father that I grew up in Vancouver, Canada, and my father, I was lucky. He would take me to Stanley Park every weekend, and we would talk to the trees. He would say, what do you think that tree is saying? And we would leave food for the squirrels, and there was some deers hidden in the forest area that wasn't public. We'd go talk to the deer and the otter, and, you know, it was a small zoo, and it's since been very criticized for being a zoo. But I actually learned there to respect wildlife because I was growing up in a city. Yeah. It was a place where he could take me, and I'm really grateful to him that he was able to take me to those spaces. And yeah, you're right. I went to school, and then my mom heard me talking to my grandfather in spirit and said, you can't do that at school. And I went, okay. She said, they'll think you're crazy if you do that at school.
Yeah. So. You know, and it's a gift, I think, that we, you know, our long ago ancestors had is this communication with not only ancestors like your grandfather in that case, or receiving communications or having a communication with tree, and not just a tree, but also the tree spirit that is the way that this tree exists because of spirit, tree spirit expressing as this tree, in my case, what I'm known for a lot is animal spirit guides and how you can discern when an animal shows up in a particular way, unusual or repeatedly or in your dreams or something like that, that animal typically will have some sort of a message for you. And we've lost that. You know, the good news is God bless your father. You know, I think more and more parents are honing in on this and picking in on this, that you can go and you can sit by a tree and breathe with the tree. You can ask tree for a healing. You can get a message from a particular animal that comes to you. Or if you have an affinity as a child, a young child, to a particular animal, and you say something to your mom or your dad, oh, that's my spirit animal. And they're not going to go, oh, come on, you're just making that up. You know, you're imagining it. Instead, a lot more parents are going, oh, that's great. You know, that's wonderful. You know, so glad that you have that, and really supporting that kind of openness to spirit in all forms, and the way that all of the beings on the earth, really, there's opportunity for communication that's going on. Clouds, you know, a friend of mine, Eva Blacktail Swan, Cherokee medicine woman, and she goes out every morning and she receives messages. And she sometimes refers to the messages coming from cloud people or the star beings or the standing ones, meaning the tree people. Because in the Cherokee language, there's no word for object. It's all relatives. Everything is related. So there's a designation that implies that relationship. Isn't that fascinating to me? That's like, where did we go? What happened? What happened to us?
And so important in today's time to get back to that.
Yeah. Yeah, one of my card decks, in fact, of the, you mentioned a few, and there's four altogether so far. I've got more on, you know, more down the pike here. But one was inspired by a friend of mine who's a publisher. She just threw it out one day and said, you should do a children's spirit animal deck. And I went, huh, interesting, because I don't work with children directly. I have had children. I mean, my daughters are grown up. I've got grandchildren. I've got two stepdaughters. But it really grabbed a hold of me, this whole idea. And so I talked to my wife, Jessica, about it, who has two daughters. At that time, they were 7 and 9 or 6 and 8, and my stepdaughters. And we collaborated on this children's spirit animal card deck. And it just, we've gotten so much good feedback, and it's, you know, one indication is that it's selling really, really well. And I've heard story after story of parents who've used it with their children. There's a guidebook that tells you how to use it. Anyway, I think we circled around to this product, if you will, Children's Spirit Animal Cards, talking about where how we can nurture the children's intuitive gifts and their capacity to keep that connection open to the natural world. What was that one book that came out? It was A Lost Child in the Woods, Curing Our Children of Nature Deficit Disorder. Isn't that a great title? Nature Deficit Disorder. Anyway.
Nature Deficit Disorder.
It's so true, you know. What the front quote in the book was, I like my house because there's lots of electrical plugs. That's really sad.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well,
you know.
I used to be a former teacher, and I remember teaching band, and we were taking them in the fall to a camp where you kind of unify all the kids for band. And there was a young boy, 13 maybe, who had just arrived from, I'm thinking it was China, and he had never been around an actual dog, but had a mechanical dog, they found out later. And so this dog was running around the kids' feet, and all the kids knew that, you know, how to deal with a dog. And he started to kick that dog away, because he had never been around a dog, and all the kids were like, no, you don't kick him. And then someone one of the kids interpreted to him, he's not an electric dog, you know, because they had these little electric toys as dogs. And it was like, he's a real he's a real alive thing. And this kid was like, oh. Mm. And I thought, wow.
That is a big wow. Again, maybe one example of that dissociative way that, you know, children are typically raised, I think, or have been typically raised. And again, I think your father and the relationship you had with him around the communication with the animals and the spirits of nature, I think it was probably very much an exception to the rule. No, you didn't, which is good for you, and that's why you're doing what you do. You know, he had a strong influence on that for sure. So anyway, great. I'd love to have met the man. You know, he sounds like a very interesting fellow. And more parents are coming into that, you know, beginning to get curious. I think there's a shift in the collective consciousness. There's an urging, a better word would be a calling to involve yourself in this awakening process in whatever way that you might do so. You know, for some, it may be spending more time outdoors. I go barefoot a lot, even in my neighborhood. I live in a fairly suburban neighborhood in Dana Point, California. And I've got a great little, I won't say little, but a big yellow lab. I love him. 3.5 years old. I always take him for walks. And one guy commented and says, "You always walk barefoot." And so it was an opening for me to explain why I walk barefoot. Besides, I just like walking barefoot. And I'm from Iowa, you know, so... there's a country boy in here somewhere, but that's a simple act that people can do, especially as the weather warms here in the North American continent and in the Northern Hemisphere, is to get out and walk barefoot, you know, or walk in leather-soled shoes, because you start to connect with Mother Earth. Literally, you connect with her because she will give you, through your feet, walking on the land, on Earth, the electrons that the free radicals will steal from your body. So by doing so, you continually instill antioxidants that are given. This has been proven. Antioxidants are the electrons that will support the antioxidants that keep the free radicals at bay. And as you may know, and your listeners may know, is free radicals are the things that can sort of make your body rusty. So anything you can do to counteract that, and that's one simple thing, doesn't cost a thing. Isn't that cool?
I absolutely love that. And we're being cued for a break. Hold on, okay. We'll just be a couple of minutes back with Dr. Stephen Farmer.
Conscious Lifestyle on Steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, and we're back with Dr. Stephen Farmer, and we were mid-sentence. I'm trying to remember where we were, but...
probably all over the map.
I wanted to ask you today really about your Earth Magic practitioner program and find out about that. And I just love what you shared about the Earth and connecting with the Earth, because I always feel like if I haven't been out for a walk and I get out for a walk, which we're going to do right after the show, actually, I said to my husband, I need to get out and walk. I just feel so much better. And I love that the science is there. You know, I love that science is caught up to that. Yeah,
it's the Earth Magic practitioner training is coming up. This is number six. I've done five of them, and they're just amazing people that have shown up for these classes and trainings. It's really not just a class, it's a training. So I bring, a number of years to the table for this training. It's a 9-month process. We meet 4 times face to face, in other words, as a group. And then we do online meetings in the interim. And the foundation for it is really shamanism. And yet I have so much other training that I've gone through in especially my experiences as a psychotherapist, and particularly with regard to trauma and post-traumatic stress disorder and methodologies, et cetera, to work with anybody suffering from trauma, or the residual effects of trauma more accurately, as well as the shamanic approach to those kind of things. So my goal is to, twofold really, is to certainly introduce people to shamanic work. And it has really taken off in the last several years because it's much more incorporative of the earth and the beings of the earth, rather than, living a life so that you can go to some supposed heaven or celestial realm. Maybe that's true, maybe not. I don't know. I don't have any direct evidence that that happens, but we'll see. I'll see at some point.
Right.
But what it does is the program is aimed also not only to lay that foundation of specific skill work in shamanic practice, but also to do other kinds of things that I'm adept at that I can pass along, so that these people can go out and do the work that they need to do. It's fascinating because particularly I find more and more over the 5 that I've done is healers are showing up, people that already have certain capacities and even practices as a healer. There was one woman that comes to mind in the last class that she is a Reiki practitioner, a Reiki master. She has clientele, and she just really wanted to augment what she was doing. And she came through the class and now is doing primarily shamanic work. But also some of her own other skills are using sound healing, using singing bowls and things like that to
love those.
Induce an altered state and work with the individual in this altered state so that it brings forth healing. So that one's coming up. The next round is coming up May 10th. I do that here in Orange County, California. And I've had people from Vancouver and from Toronto, as well as from the East Coast. Nobody from Mexico yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if somebody showed up someday. Nobody from Europe. It's 4 times a year you'd have to travel. It could get very expensive. But anyway,
Anyone come from Colorado?
Oh, yeah. The last class, in fact. There's somebody that's there in northern Colorado. I can't remember the city that she's from right offhand, but that just the last class, a woman came and was traveling back and forth for those 4 times. Anyway, that's the gist of the program. I love teaching it. I'm more and more moving to teaching and training and workshops, and the other program that I'm having a great time with is mentorship, spiritual mentorship, where whoever is interested gets a half hour for no charge to see if we can work together and whether it would be something that would be congruent with their spiritual path and expanding it. And then we devise a program based on that. Typically, over a period of maybe three to four months, we will actually work online three times, and then I'll have correspondence with the individual in between, so that I can keep track of what's going on with their process. So that was a gas, and I'm so thrilled because the people that go through it have just been, you know, been very laudatory. They've gotten a lot from it, and you know, again, going out into their own world and doing the work that they were designed to do. And my assistance is to really help steer them for a period of time so that they can really add to their repertoire already. I get people who are already in some way healers for the mentorship. So I'm loving that. I do individual sessions too, shamanic work, post-traumatic recovery and stuff like that too. So people can go to my website. I'm jabbering away here. They can go to my website, earthmagic.net, and you can find out more about me. There's videos, articles, a Facebook page that, you know, is Dr. Stephen Farmer, Facebook page, professional Facebook page. But earthmagic.net is probably the best place to go to learn more about these programs.
Okay. I think that's beautiful. It seems to me that we're in a time when many people have been, you know, reaching back to old traditions, forging new ones, and it seems to me like we're really in a time when all of us that are trying to make a difference need to sort of pull in what works for us to create our own way of doing it, as opposed to, I just feel like the structure of things being done this way and that way, or it's all kind of, you know, all the gloves are off. You can do it any way that works because it's all the same goal.
Yeah, I agree, Cynthia. And the old systems are sort of deteriorating, if you will, a lot of the old systems, the old ways of doing things. And, you know, this, I find it ironic that what we call these new age mysteries and technologies and things that are called new age, a lot of them are old age, you know, shamanism, yeah, for instance.
Yes. Yeah.
That's yeah, like, you know, 40,000, there's been proof on every continent of a shamanic type of work. It isn't always called shamanism. You know, that's just a term that happens to have come down the pike. It comes from Mongolia, and it doesn't matter what you call it, but it's that capacity for the individual to actually intentionally travel to these areas that we'll call non-ordinary reality and work with helping spirits there to bring back healing or guidance for the community or for the individual. But there's 40,000 years, up to 40,000 years ago, there's evidence on every continent of shamanic practice. To me, that says a ton right there. And it's not about an ambition to become a shaman. You know, it's a calling. And it really does. I call myself a shamanic practitioner. Some people call me a shaman. It doesn't matter to me. I just know that the training I've had in that particular, with that particular paradigm has been very, very effective with the people I've worked with. Great stuff, in other words.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way also with, you know, in terms of mediumship, you know, the expanding of, you know, we tend to, so often, like if you go into a demonstration, a mediumship with a bunch of people, they expect to have certain things. And typically it's been, okay, how old were they when they passed? You know, is it a man or a woman? How will they pass?
Yeah.
And what exactly, you know, how will I know them? But there's been a lot of discussion lately on, you know, that mediumship itself needs to evolve forward. Like, you know, what about the way I would say someone would perceive me may not be the way I'm going to describe myself. So, you know, I was saying to my husband, you know, I asked him, what song would you give me if you cross over first? And he told me what song he would pick. And I said, well, I would pick this song. And it's interesting that I may not describe myself like you might think I would describe myself. So I try and stay aware that there may be two different realities of somebody's father, the way the father is showing me who they were, but also how would your kids know you? Because I think that is as old as time as well, that the shaman was also the medium.
Well, connecting with the ancestors. One of the things that we've, again, in our Western culture generally, and it's a vast generalization, but is this lack of attentiveness to the ancestors. And whereas in many, many cultures throughout the world, the ancestors are a daily part of life. You know, their grandpa's here. You know, they can sense him or feel him or see him or hear communications from grandpa or great grandpa or even one of the old ones, you know, the ones that, you know, are around maybe, you know, 10,000 years ago. And so there's that, which may not be called necessarily mediumship, but it's the same principle. And that's the communication with the dead, but not just the dead, but with the lineage, the ones that have come before. I mean, you think about it, you know how many ancestors we have after 20 generations? We have over 1,000. And then when we go back 30 generations, we've got and it keeps going on and on. And if you think about that we're all related in some way. I mean, we definitely are. You know, it's just we have to go back far enough to see our relationship. But anyway, circling back to what you were saying, Cynthia. I don't profess to be a medium, but when I'm doing work, ancestors show up. That's just the way it is. They just show up. So that's how I'm, again, you would call it mediumship, but it's not the kind of mediumship you do, meaning people come to you for that. And their expectations, like you say, they may be different than actually how dad comes through or mom comes through or grandpa comes through. But I've seen ancestors come through before. Oh, there's a white-haired woman just hanging around here. You know, do you know who that might be? And they go, oh, that's my grandma. I was really close to her. Like, oh, cool. I don't aim to do that. It's not my intention, but they do show up that way.
Oh, I think that's beautiful. I think it's needed. You know, being that I think I was born, you know, more left brain, right brain. In some ways, I may have stunted some of my growth, always wanting to have fact and proof. But, you know, my grandfather that I always felt I had never met, but I have a great grandmother that I always felt so connected to her. And I, you know, I had her name and her first initial of her middle name together. I didn't know she was my great grandmother for the longest time. But I knew she was a suffragette, and I used to call on her. I'd say, well, I come from a long line of shit disturbers when things need to be helped along, and I call on her to give me strength. And then, I don't know, it's interesting how it all happens, but just, you know, I was studying to become a minister, and I just felt her presence so much, giving me strength and helping me. And then I thought, well, and then the funniest thing happened, but it was Canada Day. And a Facebook feed came, and there she was, the first woman to vote in Canada. And before people could vote.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And so I thought, I've got to contact this reporter right away. We're not going shopping for food. And the reporter got back to me, and he said, it's a good thing you emailed me today, because I'm actually retiring Friday. And so if you'd emailed me tomorrow, I wouldn't have got it. And he sent me all of this information. I got a book now that she was in, and I found out more about her, and that she's never shown as being a minister, but her history of starting one of the first Unity churches, and she was indeed the first woman to hold office and to vote. And since a little girl, she spent 17 years saying, you know, every year going to the parliament and voting, and, you know, because I'm a landowner, and it was her she did so many wonderful things, but it was her accomplishment. I'm going to make sure women have the right to vote. But, you know, there she was. I thought from a scientific perspective, there she was. She showed up just at a time when I needed her. And then I went off to a mediumship workshop because I'm always working, evolving, growing. And I had booked a reading. And guess who showed up in my reading to say hello?
Well, let me guess. Let me guess here.
And I just thought, well, there you go. I would get these things for other people. I see you've got a great grandparent you never met. And I think, why are they always, you know, walking? And I asked them and they'd show me patterns or things. And I would go, okay, well, this, I don't know if this is the way it's supposed to go, but it's what it is. And I think in a sense, what you're doing is you're empowering people to tune into that for themselves, which is much needed at this time.
Yeah, it definitely is. That's a good word for it, empowerment. I do readings. I'm not sure what to call them, you know, but readings. And I often typically use the Oracle cards as sort of a springboard or a launching pad. But often when I lay out, let's say, three of the Oracle cards, and I use my own, of course, you know, there's a Zen Osho tarot that I use sometimes, but primarily I use my own, like the Earth Magic Oracle cards or the Power Animals. And I'll lay them out so they're facing the client. And I say, before I go, blah, 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 you know, this is what I get. I go, what do you get? And the client will start talking about this one card or that one or the meaning of this. And I always encourage them. I say, anything else? Anything else? Until they just say, no, that's it. And then I launch, you know, and I say what I get. But the purpose of doing it that way really is to say to the client, hey, you can do this too. You know, this. I've had a lot of training and a lot of practice, but you can do this too. You know, it's not that big a deal, really, unless you make it a big deal, and you can get information in this way. And, oh, by the way, you can get information from nature. You know, go ask a question, go for a walk, and see what communications you get. And people will do that and be pleased, you know, that they can communicate with the natural world as well and get information directly. Like I said, the one of the easiest ways is through animal spirit guides. Example would be this morning. I'm feeling a little tired because I didn't sleep as well. I got in late. I'm taking a class on Tuesday night, so it gets out quite late. But when I got up, you know, and started drifting into this dream rather than the other dream, I looked out and there was a hummingbird flying around the backyard, just cruising along, you know, flitting back and forth. And I just, to me, what the message was lighten up, you know, just not cheer up, but just lighten up, you know, it's not that big a deal. Look at me, you know, and I did observe the hummingbird for a while. And also the flexibility is another common message that someone could get from sighting a hummingbird in that way. Not that it was terribly unusual, you know, but it was. I don't see a hummingbird every morning, for instance. It's been a long time, actually. So I consider that unusual. And that's what I look for with animal spirit guides, is the animal showing up in some unusual way or repeatedly. And that's whether it's a physical animal or a representation of the animal, like in a dream or a billboard or something like that. And they really are, they really want to help us. They being the spirit animals, and spirit in general wants to help us because, oh, like I said, I wrote this on Facebook on Earth Day, 2 or 3 days prior to Earth Day. I was just walking along and feeling, probably I guess you would say my cynical side, that, is that a signal for a break?
It is. He's cueing us for a break. So hold on. We're going to hear about going for a walk. We'll be right. Maybe I can get you to pull a card for me too and see you do that on the radio.
See what happens.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
Just a couple minutes. Okay.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative. And that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org. Brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're in the last segment talking to Dr. Stephen Farmer, and we were just talking about going for a walk on a particular day, and then the music kicked in. So I don't know if I queued you up to remember, but...
Oh, yeah, I remember it very clearly because it was a very simple yet powerful message. What I was feeling kind of sad, you know, about the state of the earth right now and the changes, the dramatic changes becoming increasingly evident have been showing up over the last several years. You know, it's become more and more evident and obvious that the earth is going through some dramatic changes. Ironically, also as the collective consciousness of human beings is shifting as well. So I said, you know, Mother Earth, I got to say, I apologize. I feel so sad, you know, about the condition that you're in right now. And what I received was this communication. Oh, honey, don't worry about me. I'm doing fine. I've been around for 4.5 billion years. So I'll probably be around for another 4.5 billion. So don't worry about me. I'm doing fine. You know, I'm just doing what I'm doing. However, you guys need to get your act together. It made me laugh. It's like, yeah, we don't need to grieve for the earth. We don't need to save the earth. You know, as she said to me, it's not about, to extrapolate from that, it's not about saving the earth, but it is about revising our relationship with the earth. You know, we've had a increasingly and longstanding dissociative process that's gone for probably a good 12 to 15,000 years, you know, since the agricultural revolution. And there's nobody to blame. We can't blame ourselves or blame our ancestors. That does no good at all. To go around feeling guilty, like, oh my God, I'm not doing enough. Knock it off, you know, is what I say. Knock it off and just do what you do. Recycle, take care of the animals, you know, just do your part, whatever you're called to do. Because whatever is going to happen is going to happen. I don't know what that's going to look like, or it's inevitable. There's a, everything that converges at any given moment, we cannot account for all the factors and the influences on even this moment here. We can't. You know, we can predict, we can try our best, we can set goals and intentions. But if you've ever gotten up in the morning and went, okay, here's my day, this is what I want my day to look like, here's my plan. And we all know the saying about plans, right? The Hebrew saying, man plans, God laughs. Life is what happens when you're making other plans. Like little hummingbird showing me how flexible she is when she flies. And I believe that's going to be increasingly true for us, as we need to learn to be adaptive and flexible. When life presents something to us, we need to respond to it in accord with it, not go, wait a minute, this isn't supposed to happen. We all do it. You know, it's not a big deal. We all do it. But I personally want to be able to meet life on its own terms. You know, not that I make plans. I think, well, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to do this. I'm going to, after our talk here, I've got a certain piece that I'm working on that I want to pay attention to. I got to walk my dog, and then something else happens, and bingo, there go the plans. And instead of fussing and whining about it, you know, I think we have to go, oh, shoot. In fact, most things in life are like that. Two steps. Oh, shoot. Oh, well. And we move on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a
I grew up around.
That's okay. I grew up around an astrologer, and I remember him, and he that I trained under and mentored me. And he said to me, the best you can do is show up every day 100% and willing to embrace what life has to offer you. And
that's well stated. Yeah.
And I would be, because I would say to him, how do you, like, the things that happened to him were so bizarre and so odd. Sometimes I say, he's, you know, and then things happen. He saw me through many different things happening. And he said, that's life, you know. And, you know, in the end, you're co-creating, but we're not always conscious of that co-creation. And some of the most wonderful things that have happened to me and the most devastating things, I didn't go get up that morning and say, oh, this is going to happen today. It just
exactly, happened. Yeah. It happens. Oh, God, I can think of so many instances. So I'm sure your listeners can think also of so many instances where that's been true, is that you start out with a certain plan, and it just, it's like a piece of paper that burns up, you know, well, that one's done. I just believe strongly in the information I've gotten from my meditations and journeys, is just that addressing me specifically, but in a general sense, human beings, is that we need to be able to have that kind of flexibility to adjust and adapt. And, oh, it's raining. Oh, well, okay, it's raining. Great. It's good for the earth. Well, I can't go out and do this and that, whatever, like I thought I was going to. But just to really, how would I put it, you know, bluntly, is gripe and moan and then get on with it. You know, do a little bit, but get on with it. It's okay. You know, it's not something that we want to pretend or do an override, spiritual override on it. It's like we got feelings about these things. You know, I'm annoyed, I'm frustrated, etc. And then get to that place of, oh well, as quickly as we can. You know, whatever that takes. And sometimes the cycle of that goes on for a while. Major life changes, you lose someone you love, you go through a divorce. You know, it takes a while to kind of let go of those gripes and complaints and whining. It does. So you're going to whine, if you're going to whine, whine 100%. Go ahead and whine, but just know you're doing it. And then take a breath and go walk outside or something. Do something different.
Yeah, that's good advice. So do you want to pull a card for me and see? Just... Do you want to try that for fun?
I have the cards right here.
Okay,
yeah,
just for fun.
Let's see.
Sure.
Hold on, I'm going to take a nice deep breath. I've got the Earth Magic Oracle cards here and the Power Animal Oracle cards, and I've got two others, but those are the ones I picked up from the drawer here. So let me see. Pachamama. Let's see what shows up here. I'm going to draw a couple of cards for you from the Earth Magic deck. Let's see. What do we need? Message do we need to deliver this in family? There's uno and dos. It is so much fun. Huh. Oh, you're going to laugh. The card I wish I could show you, you know, but it's not a visual here. Music is the key word or the headline. And isn't that great? The subtext is harmony. And there's a beautiful illustration. It looks like maybe out of the 1600s or something, a woman playing an auto harp and another playing a violin. But you get the drift, you know, music, harmony. And the other one's very interesting. It's actually a painting, an image of a painting I have on my wall of two intertwined serpents. And it's an Aboriginal painting, so it's done in that Aboriginal style. A friend of mine actually did this on commission, a friend of mine in Australia. And the headline is DNA. The subtext is karma. And it's basically saying, you know, it's pretty straightforward. This is in your soul. Music is in your soul. It's not something to diminish or to negate or a more different way of saying it is stay with it. You know, when you play music, something really happens. It touches you so deeply that it allows you to be even that much more open to your gifts when they're applied in a certain in any circumstance. I'm hearing this, you know, I'm not seeing it, but I hear that there's an ancestor in your lineage, in your direct lineage. It feels like about two generations. So what would that be, a grandparent? Maybe it was grandma, I don't know, but a grandparent that had these musical gifts, but they didn't really act on them. And so they tended to be more, my hands are kind of closing in, like they're a little bit more closed in or more contained than they needed to be. As that old saying comes to mind, is sing like nobody's listening.
That is just beautiful.
Pretty cool, huh?
That's pretty cool.
I knew you'd laugh. But these are great cards, you know. Do we have time? I'll pull one real quick on the power animal cards to see what the...
Sure.
They're different designs, and there is a guidebook, as they are in most oracle cards, that if you want a more elaborate reading, you can go to. Okay, this is the card that wants to come. Ha! Fox. Adaptability is the subtext or the keyword. And the message, there's actually a message on the card, unlike the Earth Magic Oracle cards, and it just says, adapt to the changes that are happening to you right now. So just like it's interesting we were talking about that. I find that
synchronistic. Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that cool? And specifically for you, Cynthia, since this was aimed at you, is okay. I see, like, I can't describe them. There's a game or something like that where there's, it's called Bop It or something, where there's like six holes and this thing will pop up and you got to hit it, and another one pops up and you got to hit it. That one comes to mind when I see this card when I tune in. Is that's kind of not kind of that's how you're going to feel here for the next couple of weeks is what I get. It's like you're trying to juggle things. You know, one pops up and you take care of it, and then another thing pops up and you take care of it, nothing pops up. So it goes back to that flexibility and adaptability. And the nice thing about spirit animals is you can ask Fox for help with that. That's the cool thing. You know, say, Fox Spirit, you know, help me out with this. You know, if you get kind of overwhelmed with all of the shifts and changes that are going on. So I trust that's helpful also.
I was laughing when you were, I thought, I bet you he's going to pull something about flexibility. That is what's going on in my life right now. One thing and another and juggling all these things. And, you know, I just came back from spending some time with a bunch of mediums, and I had the same message that I had to get back to doing the music. It was tied directly into my mediumship. So everything is so relevant, and you know, I have feel like music is so much a part of my core. But the music business per se, I thought I don't see myself wanting to sing in a bar. So you know, I sang in restaurants and you know, bars. It was just like, that's not how I want to do it. I sang in churches. Oh, that feels nice. I like that. Oh, I like creating. Yeah, and it's just kind of evolved. It's perfect. You know, yesterday I pulled the guitar out again. I got to get back to this, you know? So it's perfect.
Well, good.
That's
well,
lovely.
Good, isn't that? Yeah. Well, that's the kind of thing I do. And that's one of the things I do. So
that was Earth Magic Oracle cards he pulled for me. One was music and one was an Aboriginal painting. If you feel like it and you want to post them, I'll share them on the Facebook page. I just thought that was phenomenal.
I need to get your is it under your name, Cynthia?
Yeah, Cynthia Rose Medium or Cynthia Rose, whichever. Yes, I think we're friends under Cynthia Rose. Cynthia Rose Medium or Cynthia Rose?
Rose Medium or Cynthia Rose. Yeah, the second card was DNA, and the keyword was karma. You know, it's in your blood. In other words, you know, it's in your genes.
Well, and my father, what you don't know is my father never took a lesson in his life, but sat down at 18 and could play fluently on the piano. So he was. I don't know about the other grandfather, but I'm sure that's possible. But my father was incredibly talented, and I was like, how do you do that without a lesson? He could just do it.
Yeah.
So it's like it came from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I just want to be, I know we're all, time's almost up, and I want to make sure I mention again to the listeners, the Earth Magic Practitioner Certification Program, earthmagic.net is where you can sign up for it, find out about it. Besides all these wonderful courses, there's readings, oracle readings, consultations. So check that out. And you're on Facebook under which is your Facebook page?
It'd be under DR, like Dr. Stephen Farmer.
Dr. Stephen Farmer. Okay.
Yeah,
y'all can find me at CynthiaRoseMedium.com or Cynthia Rose Medium on Facebook. I've got a couple of Facebook pages. So I think any last words of wisdom? I think we have like a minute or two left. So I just want to say, in case I run out, I have loved having you on the show. It was fantastic. I hope we have you back.
Well, thank you, Sid. Anytime at all. And yeah, go to earthmagic.net and you can find out all about me. So enough of the, anyway, go there. And God bless.
Okay.
God bless you all and be good people.
Yeah, God bless. Yeah, thanks so much. Okay. And looks like we're out.